His name that we come to in prayer this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
How you doing? Good. I've been praying and was invited to come speak here. The question came to mind when I was praying is just, how are you? Before we even get into the message, just how are you? The elephant in the room is you're transitioning, those things are happening. And it's easy to just come in as a pastor and just preach a message and move on and go on. But I have a lot of wonderful friends and here that attend here as well. And just want to let you know I'm praying for you. And it's okay to admit that transition's hard, but the main thing to remember is that Jesus is the great shepherd, and nothing catches him by surprise. And he knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows when one sparrow falls to the ground, and everything is under his control. And I hope that gives you peace this morning, that God's got it. And it's a tremendous blessing to be here with you and to share with you. Great worship this morning, by the way. It's just such a blessing to be here. So thank you. This morning, I wanted to talk about, the title of my message is Living in the Land of Obedience. And whenever we hear the word obedience, obviously parents look at their kids first thing, it's like, hey. And we think about the word obedience, and I think sometimes in the wrong sort of context. And that's what we're going to kind of walk through today. So I want us to go on a journey together about living in the land of obedience and what that really means to live in the land of obedience. And here's what it means. In the land of obedience, this is where faith becomes action. It's where surrender leads to transformation. And it's where love leads the way. But when we think about obedience, there's a couple myths that I think come up a lot. In the Christian's life, it definitely comes up in the unbeliever's life. And the two myths are this. The first one is that you're a good person. The second one is that if we can just try harder to become a better person in order to please God, then God will love me and accept me. And if I just try harder, then I can be good enough, and then God will accept me. But here's the thing, that's not the truth of the gospel. That's not what Jesus died for. And there's this old song, not that old, I guess, but a Luke Bryan song, a country song. It's called I Believe Most People Are Good, if anybody knows that song. Well, that's not true. And I think that's not the gospel. The gospel says that Jesus came and redeemed humanity. Jesus came to set us free from sin. Jesus is the one that came to this great rescue mission to restore humanity back to him. And those of us that are believers, those of us that are followers of Christ, have been saved, healed, and redeemed for the sake to be now a part of this rescue mission to redeem humanity back to Christ and to share the gospel message. The belief is that we're good people, that all people are good, but that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And obedience plays a very key role in all of this. In fact, it's not in your notes, but in Galatians 3:22, it says, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Now, this is basic Christianity, and we're going to go on a couple more verses about that are kind of basic Christianity, but I want to cover three truths this morning. Number one, you're made right with God by faith. Number two, obedience is spirit-empowered and not self-manufactured. And lastly, that obedience is partnership, not perfection. So let's look at a couple verses to really kind of set this message up. The first truth is that you're made right with God by faith. So Romans 3:22 says this. It says, you're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes. So the only way we're made right with God and put in right standings with him is not by trying harder, not by being a good person, but it's through Christ, by putting our faith in the one who came and lived a perfect life that we could not live. And then what's amazing about this, and what we're going to see through this message, is God continues to stack the deck in our favor to follow Christ. It's the most beautiful thing. And when we have this revelation of who we are in Christ, we realize the beauty of the gospel, but also the ability to be able to walk with Christ in obedience. Because in Ephesians 1:13, it says, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." Like I said, this is basic Christianity stuff, that Jesus saves you and then he fills you with his Holy Spirit. But the myth and the thing that Satan always comes in and tries to do and say is like, now that you're saved, now that you have the Holy Spirit, you need to try harder. You need to be a better dad. You need to be a better mom. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. You just need to try harder. That's not the gospel. Look at, and this is kind of the big verse of the message in point number two, or truth number two, obedience is spirit-empowered, not self-manufactured. Look at Philippians 2:13. It says, "For God is working in you." Right there, first and foremost, God is the one that's working in us. But what is God doing in the life of the believer? Well, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This is the amazing thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that when God saves us, when he fills us with the Spirit, he doesn't just leave us alone to ourselves to try to make it through this world, this sinful, fallen world that we're at war with the enemy with. What he does, he says, not only will I save you, not only will I fill you with my Spirit, but now I'm going to give you the desire and the power. A lot of times we think, if I just try harder, I'm going to get the desire just to follow. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel says that I need to surrender my life, die to myself, so that I can truly find what it means to live. And then it's in that surrender of our life that we find that God, through his Spirit, gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But a lot of times we work backwards, and we miss that is God working in and through us to do what pleases him. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you trying to manufacture obedience, or are you yielding to the Spirit of the one who produces it in you? And it sounds like they're kind of the same, but they're not. And here's what I mean. A lot of times when there's areas of our life where we're trying to manufacture obedience, it's because those are the areas of our life that we haven't surrendered to the Spirit. Maybe you treat your wife horrible, but you want to obey. Maybe you look at things you shouldn't look at, but you want to obey. And you're just trying harder. Or maybe you're lazy at work and you know you're cutting corners where you shouldn't. Insert the human condition, whatever it is. But those are the areas that we try to manufacture. If I could just try harder, I could be better. If I could just stop doing this, then I could be better. And the gospel of Jesus Christ says, no, 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 no. I'm the one that gives you the desire. I'm the one that gives you the power. I'm the one that puts it in you to do what pleases me, that your role as a follower of Jesus Christ is not to try harder, but to yield to what the Spirit wants to do in and through us. And it's so hard as Western Christians. We're independent, and we want to show, we want to put a badge of what our success is and what we can accomplish, and we want to run ultra marathons, and we want to do these big things to show what we can do in and of ourselves. But Paul counted all of that as rubbish. Not that he was an ultra marathon runner, but he just counts those things as rubbish. So what does it truly mean to walk in obedience? What it truly means to walk in obedience is to surrender our desires and to lay them down at the feet of Christ for his will. Because it says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." whatever we're seeking that is above the kingdom of God, it's going to make us, put us in a position to where we're going to want to manufacture obedience, because there's going to be things that we become allegiant to or form an allegiance to that's not the kingdom, whether it's selfish ambition, sinful behavior. It's about yielding to the Spirit. So seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Church, obedience is what places us in the safest, most blessed place. But it doesn't mean an easy life. It doesn't mean everything's just going to be rainbows and unicorns. But it'll be a fruitful life, a purposeful life, a life that aligns our will with the will of the Father. And this is where it keeps getting better. So not only does God save us, not only does God fill us with His Spirit, not only does He give us the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, He even provides a way out when we're tempted to sin. It just keeps getting better. If we look at this in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 through 13, it says, if you think you're standing strong. Now let's pause right there. It says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. What does that mean? Why did he say that in this verse? If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Because here's the tendency we have as believers. As soon as we feel like we're doing good, or that we're spiritual, reading our Bible every day, praying, we start putting it on ourselves that we're the ones that are doing it, forgetting that without Christ, we're absolutely nothing. But with Christ, we're children, we're saved, we're redeemed, we're more than conquerors, we can do all things in Christ who gives us strength, that any weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's who we become. We move from sinner to saint, that in Christ we have everything. Apart from Christ, we have nothing. So if we ever get to a position where we think we are holy or we are all this and that, be careful not to fall. Because the thing that's given us the ability to stand is the Spirit of God. And we need to look as followers of Christ. It's like we're on the backs of Jesus and He's carrying us out of a war zone where we're wounded by life. We're wounded by circumstances. We're wounded by hurts of our past. And Christ is carrying us out to a safer place to make us whole, to heal our life. And then when He patches us up and He heals us and He makes us whole, He puts us back in the fight and said, now I need you to be a part of this great rescue mission. And I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to put my power. I'm going to provide a way out when you're being tempted. Verse 13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. But God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, He'll show you a way out so that you can endure. So there's areas of our life where we think we're standing strong. Those are the areas that we lay down our life and realize that the Lord is strong in our weakness. The Scripture says that I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. But we have the spiritual battle that we're in. But the good news of the spiritual battle is that the Spirit's work in us is so much stronger. We're not left defenseless. It keeps getting better. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. A final word, be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength. Men, you don't have to try harder. You have to surrender. You have to yield. You don't have to have it all together. You can admit that you don't have it all together. We can admit, as human beings, we don't have it all together. This world is sinful, and it's falling, and it's not getting better. Humanity is not becoming nicer and happier. That's not what's happening. It's getting worse. We're waiting for the day of the return of Jesus Christ. And it is through His church that are redeemed, that have His Spirit, that are empowered. We are the ones that are fighting in a war that says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, but the weapons of our warfare are not flesh and that we're not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are in a fight, We're in a war, but God is empowering us, and he wants us to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then it says that we're to put on all of God's armor, not what we think we can do in our own strength. It says, so that you will be able to stand firm against what? All strategies of the devil. When we're standing strong in the Lord, when we're putting on his armor, that is the only moment that we have the power to stand against the strategies of Satan. So it says in Romans 6:6-7, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. This is talking about Christians. It says, we are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Things keep getting better. Jesus saves us. He gives us his spirit. He empowers us to walk with him. He gives us the desire. He gives us the power to do what pleases him. He provides a way out under temptation. He gives us armor to put on. He sets us free. He delivers us from our sinful nature. Like he's saying, here's everything you need to follow Christ. Everything you need to live in the land of obedience. And it doesn't get any better. Look at Romans 8:1-12. It says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. If you're walking in here today and you're feeling condemned, if you're feeling shunned, rejected, full of guilt and shame, I'm telling you, that's from the accuser of the brethren, which is Satan himself. The Holy Spirit convicts, but that's totally different than feeling condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God has set you up and given you everything you need to walk with him and obey him. He wants you to live in the land of obedience. And I just pray that that would be broken off of your mind today and you would see who you are in Christ. It says there's no longer condemnation for those who are in Christ. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit sets you free from the power of sin and death. We are in such an amazing position as followers of Christ to be part of the army of God. This doesn't mean that we're never going to sin. In fact, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 6, it says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the world. God saves us. He fills us with his spirit. He gives us everything we need to follow him. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then in turn, he prays on our behalf so that we can stay strong under temptation, stay strong. We can have forgiveness of our sins. In verse 3, it says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone says, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. That's a big statement. Because we think of, we're to live our life as Jesus did. And we think of this perfect human. We think of God becoming man. And we think, how can I ever live that way? But what we need to remember is Jesus was the prototype. Jesus was the first human to live a perfect life. He was the first one to die and be rose again, be given his new body, the same body that we're going to be given when we are raised from the dead, but Jesus came and lived a perfect sinless life as a human. He did what Adam couldn't do. And so now we've been empowered with what? His spirit. It doesn't mean we're going to live a perfect life because we live in a war-torn world. But what it does mean is we can live like Christ in the sense of he lived his life yielded to the Spirit. In fact, he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father. We're not meant to go through this life by our on our own trying harder, but to be yielded to the Spirit of God so we can align our spirit with what the Holy Spirit is speaking in our own hearts. Romans 8, 5 through 12 really sums this up, that the battle that we're in, this is the longest passage we're going to go through today, but it's talking about our sinful nature. Not only are we warring against Satan and demons and in the supernatural realm, but we also have the sinful nature that we have been set free from, but it's still there in our mind and wanting to steal, kill, and destroy and attack our obedience to Christ. If you look at verse 5, it says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. It says the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. It says that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. This is talking about people that don't know Christ. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you are under the power of the sinful nature, and it's impossible for you to please God. You can't just try harder and be a good person, because there are no good people apart from Christ. But the beauty is that today, you can be moved from a sinner to a saint. It goes on, verse 9, but you, talking about the believer, are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. We're not all God's children. That's not what the Scriptures teach. But we all can be, because there's a great rescue mission that we're to be a part of if we know Christ. And it's to redeem humanity. It's to be a reconciler. It's to draw people back to Christ. And it continues on. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, talking about the believer, the Spirit lives in you because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It just keeps getting better. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, church, lives in you. The same Spirit is the one that gives you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. This is all obedience is about surrender. Surrender. Dying to ourselves and surrender, because that is where we truly find life. It says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Now listen to verse 12. This is powerful. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You have no obligation. You don't have to obey it because you've been set free from it. But yet we always, a lot of the lie of the enemy is like, I'm never going to get free from this. I'm never going to be, that is contradictory to what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches freedom. Freedom from sin. It teaches that we can walk with Christ. And when it says that the verse in John about not about sinning, that we have an advocate, that's not talking about a habitual life of sin that rejects Christ. It's talking about you fly off the handle and get in an argument as a couple, and you have to repent of those things. That's what that's speaking to. But we have no obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Church, your effort doesn't save you. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. And your effort doesn't make you more loved and accepted by God. God loves you today because He loves you. Not because of something you earned, not because you read your Bible for an hour rather than 10 minutes, not because you did this, that, or the other thing. God loves you because He loves you. And the beauty about the cross, the beauty about Jesus Christ is he loves humanity, that he desires that none would perish, but all receive everlasting life. But the way that he does that is through the church. It's through us, redeemed humanity. We become the reconcilers. We become the army. We become the spokesperson for what God wants to do in and through his church in the earth. We are the body, and we are the ones to bring that reconciling message. And it happens through the power that he's given us and through the life of yielding our life to the will of God. But even the Galatians fell into this. They were trying harder. They were trying to perform. They were trying to obey the commandments. Look at Galatians 3:3. It says, after starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? It's hard to yield to the Spirit because our sinful nature wants to be self-sufficient. We want to prove ourselves to other people. But the gospel and the relationship with Jesus Christ is completely opposite of that. It's about yielding our spirit to him. It's about dying to ourselves. It's about taking up our cross. And those things sound painful, and they're painful because they are. But on the other side of that is understanding the will of God for your life. We need to think of our life like a garden. God supplies the soil, the seed, the sun, the water. As we've been talking today, he gives us everything we need to live for Christ. But we still have to show up. We still have to pull the weeds. We still have to tend to it. We don't make it grow, but we partner with God in that growth. And some of the ways we partner with God, and the reason why a lot of us are trying to work hard in our obedience rather than yield is because we've allowed unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment to fill our hearts. And as for the believer, that is one of the greatest poisons we can have in our heart, on top of gossip and slander. But when we allow unforgiveness, and these are things that we don't see, but we'd love to point out what we see all the time in people's lives. But if you have unforgiveness and resentment towards your spouse because of something that they've done or haven't forgiven them, that's hindering your walk with Christ. If husbands are treating their wives harshly, the scripture says that's hindering your prayers from being answered. That where the rubber meets the road in our life and with obedience, it's about surrendering those areas of our heart that we're trying to be Lord. This is the Garden of Eden all over again, is what this is. Because what you have in the garden is Jesus came and lived the life that Adam should have lived. He lived a life drawing from the tree of life, which is what we're called to do. We're not called to figure out what good and evil is. That's the Lord's job to say what is good and what is evil. But Adam and Eve wanted to decide for themselves what's good and what's evil. And that's what got them kicked out of the garden. But we're to draw from the tree of life. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the day like those scriptures teach, so we can know him and love him and love God and love people. That's what it means to obey Christ. Is to walk with him so that when we hear his voice, we want to obey. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. It's not our job to point out what's good and what's evil in the sense that unless it's something that's given by the Spirit of God. And we're to speak the truth in love all throughout Scripture. But one of the things we are called to do is work out our salvation. And that's not talking about trying harder. Look at Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. We started with this verse in verse 13, but now we're going to read 12 as well. It says, dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Look at this. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. You're like, what are you talking about, Casey? You just said we weren't supposed to try harder. But this verse says to work hard. What are we talking about here? The way that we work hard to show the results of our salvation is by yielding to the Spirit of Christ. Because it goes on in verse 13, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. We're to have deep reverence and deep fear. That fear is not about being scared of God. It's about being scared of being outside of His will. Like Adam and Eve. Like humanity without Christ. They're outside of God's protection. That's why we needed Christ. But now, we can have this beautiful relationship like we've talked about, all the ways that God sets up obedience for us to be successful in walking with the Lord. And it comes down to love. To love. To loving God more than our own selfish desires. To loving God more, even more than our own dreams. Because I'm telling you, church, whatever you dream of that you want for your life, the will of God is so much greater. Because when we die to ourselves, we find what it truly means to live. And a lot of times we want to order our will. We want to know God's purpose for our life. And we want God's will for our life. We want to order it on Amazon. And now we can get it overnight by 4 a.m. to 10 a.m. in the morning. And we want to have it show up so we can rip this package open and look and say, what is God's purpose for my life? What is God's will? And we open up the package and we look at it and it says, my will is what God's saying. If you want to know what God's will for your life, it's His will. It's what He wants. Because it's only when we find His will that we find what it truly means to live. This is why Jesus said in John, this is why Jesus said this in John 15:5. He says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can do nothing apart from Christ, but we can do everything in Christ. That's why He calls us more than conquerors. That's why He calls us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Now, this doesn't mean that we're robots. We still have to, like we said, like the garden analogy, we still have to make choices. We still have to form habits, renew our mind, resist sin, confess and repent, forgive, practice love and patience. We still have to do all those things, but we don't do it in the sense of trying harder. We do it in the sense of, God, give me the grace and the peace and the strength to do that. Galatians 5:16 through 17 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And lastly, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God transform you. Let Him transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then here's what happens. When we yield to the Spirit and we allow the Spirit to transform us and we're working with the Lord of saying, God, I have anger, resentment, and bitterness in my heart. I have this sin that I'm consistently tempted in. I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to obey you. I want to walk with you in the cool of the day. Lord, you call me your child. You call me your friend. You call me your beloved. I want to please you, God, with my life. That's when you see transformation happen in your life, and He begins to transform you into a new person, and He changes the way that you think. Because then when He changes the way we think, look at the rest of this verse, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. God's will for you is good, pleasing, and perfect. Any area that we're resisting God's will for our life, it's taking us away from God's best and what He wants to do in and through His church, which is ultimately to redeem humanity. So let me ask you today, Where is obedience hard for you right now? Where is it hard? Where are you trying to manufacture obedience because you desire something sinful? Be honest with the Lord. Repent. And He'll give you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. It's not about trying harder, church. Obedience is not about trying harder. It's about surrender. He's asking us to follow Him, to trust Him, to realize that He's empowered us to live a life of obedience. He wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him just like Adam and Eve did in the cool of the day in the land of obedience. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give You this morning. Father God, I thank You for Your church. I thank You for this church. God, I thank You for everything You're doing here. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're molding and shaping this place, the body of Christ, for this next season, that none of it catches You by surprise. Father, I pray that they would lean into You like never before, that they would fall in love with You like never before, that they would realize that they have everything they need to walk with You. And Lord, You would draw them close, that they would draw near to Me and I will draw near to You, as Scripture says. And Holy Spirit, whatever work You're doing in people's lives, Lord, I thank You, Father God, that You're transforming hearts and lives and minds today. And no weapon formed against this church will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence and Your goodness, and for the Word of God today. And lastly, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, and they realize that they are on the outside of the land of obedience, they realize that they need Christ to do anything that pleases God, I pray that they would repent of their sins today. They would choose You as Lord and Savior. And if there's anybody, let's just pray this together. If there's anybody in the room that doesn't know Christ, would you raise your hand? Amen. I see your hand. Anybody else? Father, we thank You, You're rescuing people from the kingdom of darkness. Let's just pray this together. Let's just say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, teach me what it means to walk in obedience. Thank You for Your wonderful Spirit. Thank You for fellowship with You. Thank You for bringing me into Your kingdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you gave your life to Christ today, Seth, I'm sure Pastor Seth will be up here and get you connected in the church. The biggest thing you can do is get connected to your church. There's tons of people here that love you that would want to be with you. If you want to chat with me, I'll be right over here too. And let's worship Jesus together. Amen.